Some people pay other people to turn a wrench, swap their oil filter. Me, DIY, all day. This isn't convenience. It's confidence. Purelator 20K oil filters. Clean oil, more miles. Over 99% filter to perfection. Only at Walmart.com or select Walmart stores. Purelator. Keep it purring.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
Hit it hard. All right, good Saturday morning as we approach July, the last Charlie Epps Golf Hour of June this year. Getting ready for July. Charlie, how are you, my friend?
You know, I'm wonderful. Having a great morning.
Yeah. So, how about this Tiger Woods fella?
You know, Tiger's, you know, continuing, showing great signs of his game is coming back, that put himself in position to have a good weekend. It's going to be fun to see what happens, but he had a great round of golf yesterday. So we just got to keep watching.
Yeah, it is nice to see Tiger playing better, because Thursday he did not play particularly well. Shot a 70, and then yesterday he comes out and he shoots that 65, putting much better. So a good sign for Tiger going forward. It just seems like so far this year, Charlie, he can't get everything going at once. One day the driver's giving him an issue. One day the putter's giving him an issue. And yesterday it was really one of his best two rounds of the season.
He's 42 years old.
He is.
And that happens, and he's going to overcome it, and he'll get it all together at the right time. Yesterday was what's good in golf is when you play bad and shoot 70.
Yeah, I know, right?
See, his internal clock keeps him going, and he never gets up and gives up, and he knows how to shoot 70 with his C game, he knows how to win with his B game. So we'll just continue watching the comeback of an incredible athlete, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, so Tiger right now 5-under at the Quicken Loans Invitational, his tournament. He is 4 strokes off the lead. Brian Gay, Bo Hostler, and Ryan Armour all up there at 9-under par. So we'll see what Tiger can do today. He tees off at about 11:35 Eastern, 11:35 Central, 12:35 Eastern time. All right, Bill Harmon's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. Tell you what, Charlie, Bill's had a busy week already. He's been caddying for Jay Haas at the U.S. Senior Open.
Yes, and something that he really loved, that life of caddying and his friendship with Jay Haas, and this is an incredible reunion, you might say, and they're in fourth place playing well, and going to be fun to hear from Bill about the condition.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, Charlie, well, it's already been a busy week for Bill Harmon, who's out there at the U.S. Senior Open. Jay Haas, caddying for him. Haas is playing well, 1-under par, 4 strokes off the lead. Bill, thanks for taking some time to join us this morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Wonderful, Bill. You're having a great week. What's the big story up there?
He's an amazing player, Jay. At nearly 65 years old, to be performing like this on a very, very difficult golf course, and I don't know, he never ceases to amaze me, but he's very good, and he's still very competitive. So it's been really great to see him performing the way he's performed the last 2 days. And obviously it makes the weekend a lot more exciting and a lot more fun if you have a reason to be nervous. So I'm looking forward to this afternoon. But the bottom line, and Charlie, you know as a player, that the only thing that matters right now is to get the drive into fairway on the first hole and go from there. You cannot get ahead of yourself in these tournaments.
Well, give us your impression of how the USGA has set this golf course up, and is it fair, and are the players enjoying it?
Well, they've set it up very difficult. The rough is very sporty. Boy, if you drive in the rough, you got to really get lucky to get some kind of lie to reach any green, and you can get some of the worst lies you can imagine, even 1 foot into the second cut. You know, it's a little bit long in spots, I think, for a senior. The 17th hole is a 545-yard par 4. It's the longest par 4 in USGA history. You know, and for a senior tournament, that's interesting. I understand the altitude, and it's a little downhill, but still, I know the first day Jay hit a pretty good drive and had 270 to the hole. And so that's a little bit sporty. But having said that, I would say, yes, they set it up good. It's a golf course that is a little bit awkward off the tees. There's quite a few kind of straight-looking drives. I think good players want the hole to tell them what to do, and they've got a lot of holes here where you got to figure out what to do, which is good. Greens, I don't know if you've played here, Charlie, are incredibly difficult to read. And there's a mountain effect here that is beyond comprehension, really. And you can have putts that are so fast you can't believe it, and putts that are so slow you can't believe it. And then putts that break up hills and things like that. So I think it's a wonderful venue for a national championship. And the back nine is about as difficult a nine as I've ever seen. So I think Sunday, whoever wins this tournament is really, really going to have to step up and hit some marvelous golf shots under a lot of pressure. And I really believe anybody within five shots of the lead going to the back nine on Sunday has got a legitimate chance.
Now, Bill, we know one of the big things playing in Colorado, Colorado Springs, is the altitude. Now, you're involved with selecting clubs, how far does Jay hit his 7-iron?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Charlie. It's a very hilly course, and it's our opinion that the altitude affects the ball more if you're a longer high ball hitter, and Jay is a shorter low ball hitter. So we might not play as much as some of the other players. So, you know, the standard thing is 10%. We might do that on a downhill or a flat lie, but uphill we adjusted quite a bit, actually. The key here, Charlie, is where do you miss it? We purposely missed it over four greens yesterday and short-sighted ourselves, knowing that we'd be chipping back into the wind uphill. And every one of those holes, one of our playing partners hit their ball on the green about 30 feet short of the hole, and they all three putted, and we got ours up and in. So where you miss the ball here is really critical, and it's a little bit like Augusta National in that regard. You know, you can sometimes have an easier chip at Augusta than you could a putt, but you have to know that. And I got here Sunday, and I walked the course, spent about 7 hours on the course, and I think I did a lot of good homework, and so far we've made a lot of good decisions, but we got two more days where we got to keep making them.
You know, one of the characters in golf over the last few years has been Miguel Angel Jimenez, and I guess yesterday his round of golf was something else, and he was asked if he was going to go practice after his round of golf, and he says, no, I think I'll go get a little food, and then I'll go take a little nap.
Well, you definitely don't see as many guys practicing after rounds here on the senior tour, and I don't blame them. I think you need to, you know, maintain your energy. But guys like Tom Kite are still out there beating balls, you know, for hour after hour. Everyone has their own comfort level, I guess, and effort level in golf. But this is a heck of a course, I'll tell you. I've really been impressed with this as a championship golf course. And I think the last time they had this tournament in 2008, only three guys broke par. We presently now have eight under par, but I think four of them are one under. So I would imagine by the end of the week that might be true, that only three or four are still under par when the tournament is over. Excellent, excellent golf course. Got to drive it. And as you know, Charlie, when you've got to drive it good on every hole, that puts a lot of pressure on the tee shots as the week wears on. It really does.
Well, I know that it's got kind of a different leaderboard right now with, you know, Jerry Kelly is an interesting player himself. He's not very long. He's just a bulldog of I enjoyed watching him play golf the times he was paired with Cabrera over the years. I mean, this guy had control of his golf ball, but Davis Love the third. Can he win?
Well, you have to think so, but this is one of those courses. Now, listen, length is always an advantage, but here you've got to be accurate. And, you know, when you play a tight course, guys usually don't air it out off the tee. So I think Davis, of all the guys on the leaderboard in the first 10, probably is the only real long hitter. I mean, you got guys like Jay Goidos, yeah. Jerry Kelly, Jimenez, guys like that are not thought of to be real bombers. So I think this is a course where accuracy is the key. You've got to put the ball in the fairway and then put the ball in the right quadrant of the green to have a chance. So, yeah, Davis could win. Certainly he could win, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you have to say he's the best. Got the best pedigree on the leaderboard. But he hasn't really played well as a Champions Tour player.
Yeah, David Thoms won over par. It's a pretty good-looking leaderboard, Bill. Do you guys know who you're paired up with yet?
Yeah, we're playing with Paul Joidos today at 119. And looking forward to getting out there and scrapping and clawing and see what happens. But regardless of what happens, I'm still so amazed at Jay at his age to perform the way he performs. It's really a marvel to watch a guy that has maintained his interest and integrity for the game like Jay has. So obviously hoping for a good weekend. But once again, I don't think you can literally think past the first tee shot on the first hole today.
Well, if you think about it and you say he's almost 65, the success that he's had after 45 to 65 is unbelievable. I mean, he had some great years at the twilight of his PGA Tour and then into, of course, what he's done on the Champions Tour. But Jay was, you know, he made the Ryder Cup. He did all sorts of things in his 40s, correct?
Yeah, and 40s and 50s and now 60s. So he still knows how to play, Charlie, and he still has the desire. He's got the fire in his belly. But he really knows how to play golf and think golf. And he's wonderful to caddy for because I almost know what he's thinking. I know what he wants to do, but I also know that he knows what the right thing to do is. And 9 times out of 10, he'll choose the right thing to do.
Bill, has there been a shot or two that stuck out to you so far with Jay's performance?
Yeah, you know, there were two of them. Yesterday, he hole a putt. We made the turn and one over par, which was good, playing the back nine. And he hit it off the back fringe on the first hole about 30 feet. And it looked like he couldn't stop the putt. And he made it. And then on the ninth hole of par five, he hit two beautiful shots just off the back fringe. Caught a little cuppy lie in the rough, and he chipped that in for eagle to finish. So maybe the shot on the last hole, I think, was a shot in the arm that, you know, kind of got us back a little bit closer to the lead. So probably the eagle finishing up last night about 7 o'clock probably was the one that tasted the best.
Now, you know, good old Rocco Media gave us some words of wisdom to talk about. He was criticizing the players. And, you know, there's not many times that is good for a player criticizing his fellow golfers. Any comments about what Rocco said about the USGA and about the guys just shut up and play?
I think what he said is what a player needs to think. And when you get out there, you can't be thinking about all this negative stuff. Like he said, if you miss it 10 feet to the right, it goes into jail. Miss it to the left, you know. And so this course has a little bit of that, Charlie. This has an element of not, you know, what we think might be fair in golf.
Yeah.
And so you just have to accept that and play the holes accordingly. And by and large, you get on every tee, I think, if you're going to be successful this week, thinking about protecting a par on that hole. And if you get kind of a green light special yardage and shot, then you take advantage. But you just have to figure out how to make pars here. And many times it's your putter that has to do it, putting from 30 or 40 feet.
Yeah, and Rocco Mediate was addressing the players complaining at Shinnecock a couple of weeks ago. Here's the direct quote, Charlie and Bill. "Truthfully, it's all been a bunch of BS. what I've heard, complete horse bleep. I'll say it again if you want me to. If you don't like how it's set up, A, hit better shots. B, don't come. Don't come. Someone will take your place. It's real, real simple. Now you're going to get mad at me.
I think he's right.
Yeah, he's right. He's exactly right. But, well, that's great. You're having such a good week up at the Senior U.S. Open in Colorado Springs. And as you said, you know, the putting up there, you don't know if you're going uphill, downhill, side hill. Are you using any special? I know, you know, you spent a lot of time up at Castle
Pines.
We're
using one of those green chart books, Charlie.
Are you?
And, and I must say it's been pretty helpful. We look at it on every hole. Sometimes studied a little bit more than others, but there have been probably 6 to 8 putts that we may have changed our thinking because of this book. And so we don't have the one that's got a big sheet. We just have a little book that's got a bunch of arrows on it, but it's quite precise and not that hard to understand. So, yeah, we've been using it, and I think it's been helpful. I hate to admit it as an old schooler that it's helpful, but it has been.
Well, I know the Masters is not like those green books because of, you know, it's, you know, that's kind of like using a laser and all this, but they really help you, huh?
I would say this week it's been very, very helpful. It's the first time I've ever even seen one, more or less used one. And, you know, we're not ODing on it, but I pretty much hand it to him as we're walking up to the green. So when he gets there, he's looking at it. And I kind of double-check myself, but, you know, if they show them on TV today, which they for some reason never do, somebody said they showed them one shot yesterday, but you'll see him checking it out, you know, but I don't think he'll look at it like some of them do, but, now Jay processes information very quickly.
All right, well, that's Bill, who's caddying right now for Jay Haas. He's 1 under par. He's 4 strokes off the lead at the U.S. Senior Open. We'll continue to chat about that. And also Tiger Woods made a putter change this week. We'll get to that next. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, and Bill's joining us live today from the Broadmoor, where he's there for the U.S. Senior Open alongside Jay Haas, who's 1 under par for the tournament. Moving over to the PGA Tour, Tiger Woods, he's 5 under par right now. The Quicken Loans Invitational, he's 4 strokes off the lead. And Tiger made a big change this week, or at least a change. He changed up his putter. He had the Scotty Cameron putter for 13 of his majors. Tiger, of course, had been struggling putting this season. But yesterday, Charlie, birdie putts of 25, 24, 19, and 16. He poured in 122 feet of putts overall after making just 49 feet total on Thursday. And heading into this, Tiger had ranked 89th on the PGA Tour in terms of putting strokes gained and 172nd in average putts in the first round, or in the fourth round, rather, which is 30. So what'd you make of, first of all, Tiger deciding to make a change with the putter and his performance yesterday?
Well, I think change is good. I think, you know, in the history of the game, you know, Arnold Palmer probably had 200 sets of golf clubs that he played with, and he'd always changing because it wasn't his fault, it was the club's fault. And with the technology today and the putters are so sophisticated, a little, you know, different feel, a different loft can go a long ways. And Tiger took advantage of it in a fine fashion, Bill. And putting is just so elusive that you got to find it somewhere. And a lot of times you find a putter that you like and you go with it.
Yeah, I think sometimes you just need a different look, you know. I mean, he's been putting quite poorly, you know, by his standards here. He's played pretty well, but the key nowadays is I don't think anybody can hit the ball well enough to overcome poor putting. And he knows that, and he knows that he's probably done enough things well with his long game the last 6 or 8 tournaments to have had reasonable tournaments. But if you don't make putts, it's very hard. I, you know, we played with Scott Hoke the first 2 rounds. He missed a cut by a shot, shot 149. And I'm not too sure he didn't play as well as Jay did. but he made a couple more mistakes, and he never made a putt, you know. And afterwards, I was thinking about it. He probably missed a dozen putts from 4 to 8 feet in 2 days and missed a cut by a shot. Had he putted well, he would be in the top 10. And so here he goes, misses a cut, and he actually played well enough to be in the top 10. So I think it's kind of good for – and Tiger doesn't usually make big changes like this. He's never used a putter that even looks close to this. Has he, Tiger?
No.
Charlie?
No, he's stuck with that answer putter for all his career. So a big change, and it's proven to could be one of the keys to a win. And and we know on the PGA Tour the secret to winning is you're going to have 2 or 3 weeks a year that you're just going to putt so much better, and you get on a roll that's who wins the tournament. And it's a putting contest for the most part.
Yeah, he said that he's going with the TaylorMade Ardmore 3 model. He said, quote, it swings better. He also said yesterday that as the year has progressed, I think that I'm not that far away from putting it all together, I should say, where I can win. Do you agree with that he's close, Charlie, to winning?
Sure. I mean, that's 65 yesterday, and his trending is good. And we've always said after this long layoff and the back problems is he needs reps. He needs to play more. And right now, I don't know what his schedule is up, you know, leading up to the next major, the Open Championship. But if he can get 2 or 3 more events in and go over to the British Open, he's going to be one of the favorites at Carnoustie. And so it makes golf very entertaining, Bill.
No doubt about it. And I've been saying right from the start with this comeback of his that I was in his camp, I would be encouraged. And I like the fact how irritated he was at that little press conference when he missed the cut at the Open. I thought I liked it. You could feel the fire in his belly and the disappointment. And, you know, Tiger's got a pretty good history of coming back when people doubt him. So I'm not a doubter with him right now. I think he's by and large had a heck of a comeback given where he's been with his body. And if he can learn to putt a little bit better, I expect to see him contend a lot more often.
Yeah, and you look at the leaderboard here at the Quicken Loans Invitational. Bo Hostler up there, he's sitting there at 9 at a par. He's got a share of the lead. Charlie, he's only 23 years old. What impresses you about him?
Well, I've known him since he's been 16 years old. He was helped with his golf swing by one of the great golf pros, Jim Flick. And his demeanor he's mature beyond his age. And he played with Uncle in a U.S. Open when he was like 18. And his control of his golf ball, his swing is not a classic swing, but the ball goes where he wants it to go. And he had a great collegiate career, then started his professional career. And every week he almost won here in Houston, Bill. This kid's got it, and it is kind of hard to define, but he shoots a lot of low numbers.
Yeah, and he seems to have a good demeanor out there. He just kind of has he looks like one of those guys who has good nerves. And I think some people are just gifted with good nerves, and he looks like one of them. You know, he'd be kind of the opposite of the guy leading our tournament, Jerry Kelly, you know, who looks to be a little bit of a nervous Nelly on his putting stroke changes from hole to hole and stuff like that. But he's such a fighter and a grinder that he gets the job done. So Hostler, to me, looks like he does have that it factor, and he's put himself in position quite a few times now as a rookie on the tour. So that kind of tells you that one of these weeks he's going to break through.
He's got his swing is a little like Colin Montgomery, long and loose, and he steps up and lets it go. So we'll see if he can hold on this week where are they playing? In Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, the D.C. area.
And you find it a little strange that one of in the Tiger Woods press conference, he was not complaining, but they're having a hard time getting a title sponsor for his event. And we should talk a little about that.
Yeah, and remember, that was a big issue, too, before the season even started with Tiger Woods. So we'll continue to talk about that with Tiger. Plus, J. Jim Furyk revealed some not-so-surprising news about the Ryder Cup this year. We'll get to that, too. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're right here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, and Charlie, you were just alluding to this before we stepped away for a second, that Tiger Woods Tournament, the Quicken Loans National, is actually moving to Detroit next year, and it won't be associated with Tiger Woods' charity, and Tiger wants to keep a tournament in the D.C. area. He said this, quote, "It's trying to get the sponsorship dollars and that kind of commitment going forward. It's been a more difficult challenge." And the other thing is, they're looking at that tournament in Detroit, the Quicken Loans event next year. It's going to be June 27th through the 30th. So the question is going to be, is Tiger going to be able to find time on the schedule to find a time to put that tournament in D.C.? That's going to be the difficulty as well with the schedule that's coming out shortly here.
Well, we saw what happened here in Houston. And the PGA Tour, it's an ongoing, you know, schedule. So they've got to have certain things by certain times. And if Tiger, it doesn't matter who Tiger is, if it can't raise the money, they've got to fill that spot, and time will go on. And so, Bill, sometimes no matter who you are, those sponsorship dollars are hard to come by, and that's a $15 million commitment for 3 years minimum. So Tiger could use his own money to sponsor the event, don't you think?
Well, I think that's asking a lot of them in some regards. I mean, I don't think Arnold ever used his money or Jack used his money. I think what you said at the start, you know, you look at the Houston Open, it's been there for nearly 75 years, you know, struggling to keep a title sponsor. I do think it's interesting, though, that Tiger, you know, given his name and his brand, hasn't had somebody step up to the plate. I find that a little bit unusual, and I don't know why that is. You know, I don't know why that would be. Are his people difficult to deal with, or is he difficult to deal with? But you would think if anybody was going to attach their name to somebody in golf, Tiger Woods would be the name. But I'm kind of surprised myself, Charlie, that he's struggling to find a title sponsor, and I don't have the answer to why. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me.
You know, Nicklaus had the same thing with his Memorial Tournament for a while.
They
couldn't quite settle on until Nationwide Insurance stepped up to the plate and signed on to sponsor the event. So, you know, business is business, and it's sometimes very hard to get a company to commit to that much money. So, but
you know, speaking of business, I've spoken to a lot of people in the media this week. You know, the USGA has just run the women's, the men's, and now the senior open. And I said to a couple people in the media this week, can you believe the difference just in the buzz at the senior open? I said, I watched the women's open on TV, and it didn't look like there were 20 people in the gallery. And they said it was just awful. There was no energy at all, despite how good the players play. They said it felt like a pro-am almost out there. And you kind of wonder why the USGA would have the ladies' senior open at Chicago Golf Club, their very first one, and the women's open at Shoal Creek. You'd think they would have wanted to switch those, wouldn't you, Charlie?
Yes.
Seriously.
Yeah. I
guarantee we'll have the galleries at the senior open will be 20 times bigger if they would tell the truth about the true attendance. 20 times bigger than the Women's Open, the Senior Open. Well, that ladies' tour has really got some problems, I think.
Yeah, you can see that, you know, from the television shows. But then also the European Tour. You look at the European Tour, and you never see a gallery that's very big anymore. And, you know, with the Ryder Cup going to Paris and some of the, you know, the European pros saying they really don't care about the Ryder Cup. And, you know, that it, you know, it's going to be fun, not interesting to see how the Ryder Cup galleries turn out and see really what happens. I'm a little afraid that something funny is going to happen there.
Speaking of the Ryder Cup, Charlie, so Jim Furyk was asked this week about the possibility with Tiger and Phil, if they're both in the Ryder Cup, about them playing together. He said, yeah, because it worked out so well the first time, and kind of gave it a chuckle. Like, yeah, if they're both on the team, that's essentially not happening. Because remember, back in 04, they were 0-2.
A little sarcasm. You know, the other thing that and they said, and Jim Furyk said this, is that the old-timers, Phil and Tiger, if they get on the team is the young guys. The team is Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. And
Patrick Reed.
Well, Patrick Reed. So will they take a back seat and let those kids run it? Bill, do you see anything that or hear anything about that with Jay?
Well, I caddied for Jay in that Ryder Cup team, and I'll be honest with you. I thought I liked the pairing at the start of the week. I would love to see him play again, to be honest with you, especially now as they've gotten older and they appear to be more friendly. I wish that they would play together. You know, Jack and Arnold were paired together. Jack and Watson were paired together. I think for some reason at that time in Detroit, you know, what happened if they would have won those two matches one up instead of losing them? You know, then everybody would have said it was a great pairing, but, you know, they didn't play well together, I guess. But I just don't think it has anything to do with who you play with. These guys play every day by themselves, you know, and they don't blame themselves when, you know, geez, I didn't play well today because I was paired with myself, you know. So I think a little bit of that is overblown, to be honest with you. And I'd like to see him be paired again, personally. I think it'd be great.
It would definitely be a crowd pleaser. People would enjoy that. And the other thing is, Bill, I remember Jordan Spieth a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about the Ryder Cup, and he said essentially the reason that him and Patrick Reed play so well together is because they want to beat each other. So even if you are a rival with somebody, it would appear that that would bring the best out of you.
Yeah, I get that. And that's why I'm a little surprised that people made a big deal about it. Like I said, I wish they'd play again. Just think of what the interest would be if they were paired together again. Now that they appear to be friends and very friendly, you know, it might be a totally different thing. If I were the captain, I'd do it. I'd have the chops to do it. But maybe they don't want to do it. But I would. I don't know. If I were them, I'd want to play.
I think
it'd be cool to whip some of these young guys.
I think they would do that. I mean, it's a exhibition of golf for entertainment for the people, and they're making all these super pairings in all the majors, and that's very popular. So over in Paris, if you put the, you know, Tiger and Phil together, I think it would be a great PR move, and it would be fun for everybody there.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Some sad news in the golf world. Phil Rogers, 5-time PGA Tour winner. He passed away this week. He was battling leukemia at the age of 80. Won a NCAA title at Houston. Jack Nicklaus had this to say, Charlie, quote, "We lost one of golf's greats, one of its most colorful individuals, and one of my dearest friends in Phil Rogers."
Phil was an incredible guy, and he was an incredible player, and he could have beat Nicklaus 4 or 5 times in majors, the British Open, and Jack would always find some way to beat him. And in Jack's first tournament as a senior golfer in Phoenix, and I was there on the last day of the tournament, the fourth round, he and Phil were paired together. And on the third hole, Jack had a 70-foot putt across this green that had two elephants buried in it. And he buried that 70-footer right in the middle of the hole. And I'm standing right next to Phil Rogers, and he just turns around and says, "That son of a, you know what?" How he does that to me every time, I'm getting so sick and tired of it. And he walked to the next tee. But Phil was a great teacher. He had a lot of great ideas on wedges. He made wedges, Cobra, and Bill. He was a unique guy.
Yeah, he was a very unique guy. I always thought that Phil was one of those guys that when you looked at him, there was something about you that didn't want to like him. I don't know why, kind of had a cocky, arrogant look. And boy, when you met him, I found him to be wonderful. I thought he was a really, really good guy and a marvelous player, marvelous teacher. And then we also lost Hubert Green, you know, maybe one of the most underrated players of all time. Won over 20 times, won two majors, Charlie. Missed that little short putt at the Masters in 78 to tie Gary. You know, what if he makes that and wins the playoff? Yeah. He'd have won, you know, three of the four of the Grand Slam as a very short hitter, I might add. So we lost a couple really colorful characters and also the great Peter Thompson, too. So we've lost three of the game's greats here in the last couple of weeks.
And he was one of the – Hubert Green, incredible hands player. I mean, and his putting stroke was unique. But when he won his U.S. Open at Tulsa – on the 16th hole, the last day of the tournament, they had to pull him aside and say, Phil, the FBI is reporting that there's been a death threat. Do you want to continue playing? What we just feel that we have to let you know this. And he kind of looked around. He says, no, let's go. And then he went on to win the tournament, which was, you know, that now that's pressure. I mean, 3-foot putt, but you got some yo-yo in a tree going to, you know, shoot you. That's pressure. So yeah, Hubie was an interesting character, and he and Fuzzy were great, you know, friends. And he got, you know, he battled cancer for the last 10 years, quite remarkably. And so yeah, we lost a couple good ones.
All right, when we come back, we will give you our tip of the week right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
It's time for the tip of the week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
All right, Charlie. Well, the floor is yours, my friend.
The floor is mine. I witnessed a couple of junior events this week, and the thing that I think I've got to teach people more, and including myself, is to enjoy the game more and just, you know, not have a happy-go-lucky attitude, but get out there and have fun and relax. And I saw one of my juniors who really played well. He won the event, and I watched him from afar. I didn't even let him know I was there. I just wanted to see how he was going to warm up. And he had his girlfriend with him, and they were, you know, being nice to each other. And they go over to the, you know, hitting bay, and he had hit some balls, and he'd go over there and he'd help her, and it was just so relaxing, Bill. And then I go out and watch him come in, and on the 16th hole, she's pushing the pull cart or the pull cart, you know, and he's kind of relaxed and. And she's just kind of dancing down the fairway. And it was so relaxing. It was a 560-yard par 5. And here, this Billy's 6'5", and he hit driver 6-iron right in the middle of the green. So the moral of the story is everybody relax. Have some good vibes going out there. And if you're laughing, tension-free. Humor relieves tension. So if you get in a bad mood, just think of the funniest joke somebody's ever told you and laugh your way to success. So that's my, for this summer fun, relax and have fun. And if you hit a bad shot, laugh at yourself. So, Bill, what's your tip of the day?
Well, that sounds good. Somehow I don't feel it's going to be that way on the first tee today. Because when you play a course like the Broadmoors, fun doesn't seem to come into it. But I think everybody has to find their own energy level and their own little space and their own emotional system to perform. It's different for everybody. You know, Fuzzy was the happy-go-lucky guy, did very well, and then there were very intense guys. So I think everybody's different there. What I've learned this week watching the senior players is you need to educate your hands and your arms on how to play golf. These senior players' bodies can't move nearly like they used to do when they were younger, but they're able to massage the ball with their hands and their arms. Learn the relationship between your hands and the club face, and I think you'll be a much better player than focusing on your big muscles. these older players, as their bodies are broken down, can still get it done because they know how to use the club face in their hands.
Yeah, Bill, don't tell Charlie that. Remember, he's back on the fitness thing now with Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson.
Well, he's all, you know, all of a sudden he's real pro Rory McIlroy now. You know, he's bashed him for 10 years on this show, and now all of a sudden he's turning into
Jack Blake. I never said a word about Rory this today.
Yeah.
Or Jordan today. He didn't say anything negative about Jordan today either in his putting. Hey, so, Bill, what's the plan of action? You guys get out there in a couple hours from now, so what's the plan until then?
Yeah, I'm just going to relax, and I'm going to pack up my bags. I'm going to Castle Pines tomorrow night. I've been doing some laundry this morning and been to Starbucks, and I'll chill out, and I'll go pick up Jay around 11 o'clock, and we'll cruise over to the course, and we'll do our thing and see what golf offers us today. I think we need to stay committed and stay resilient. Those are the two things that will be my mantra. Commit to every shot and be resilient, because you will have some tough moments on this course.
Well, we'll be watching, and no better guy that I'd rather see win the Senior U.S. Open than Jay Haas and Bill Harmon. So,
well, I appreciate that.
You know, we'll be watching.
Fun to have a chance.
You got it.
All right. Hey, Bill, best of luck the rest of the weekend.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Yeah, that's getting a mulligan to get out and do that. I know Bill is in his element, and he's such a great caddy, and I wish him all the luck.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. What we should have told him is if Jay Haas wins this weekend, he should shout out to Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
Oh, he will.
When he gets his trophy.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be nice.
All right. Thanks to Bobby Beats for producing this morning. Charlie, have yourself a great weekend, my friend. Have a great Saturday, everybody. Be safe and be well.